Okay, hello everybody. I'm going to speak about my package. It's called DMOD, and it's about dynamic modeling and parameter estimation. I would like to begin with the question, what is a dynamic model for us? And a dynamic model is, for us, basically a set of differential equations where the independent variable is time. And the motivation for our equations is mostly in biology. So we study biological systems, for example, signaling pathways, or like in this case, transport processes. Here you see a molecule TCA, which is a bile acid, and it's taken up by a cell. So you have a dish of cells, and between the cells, you have channels. These are called canaliculi, and the cells are surrounded by a buffer, and there you put in the TCA, and then it's taken up by the cell and it's transported into the canaliculi and can go back to the buffer again. So you can write down this as differential equations, and we are generally dealing with differential equations of the form as stated below. There's a function f of the internal states x of dynamic parameters. Can I stop this to go on all the time? dynamic parameters, possibly input functions, forcing functions, u of t. Just want to have it in full screen without.
Does someone speak Dutch? If there is a way, like it's in preferences in English, and we have to change it to. So it should be preferences or something.
I know the Mac uses it.
No. Me neither. Is it perhaps this one? No?
Yeah. You just need to find preferences.
Okay. I go back into the presentation mode and then I will just go back again. Okay. So internal states x, dynamic parameters, which are exempt, for example, import, export rates, forcing functions u of t, and perhaps explicit time dependency, and also the initial values of our states are treated as parameters. So usually the way how we write this down in the DMOD package is that we have a list of reactions, like every single reaction here, TCA buffer goes to TCA cell, is represented in a line as below, where you add reactions to your table of reactions, and in the end, all this is translated automatically into the set of ordinary differential equations. Now, what do we want to do with this model, with these reactions? We want to solve them numerically. So the differential equations are translated into a C function by our package, and this C function is linked to DE solve, or to sundials. So then you have the model, and what we want to do is make a prediction, so solve it for a set of parameters and given time. So we want to generate a prediction function where you plug in your parameters and your times and you get the prediction out. And the way we do this is the line below. First you generate the model by ODE model from the reactions, and then so we have the model, which is now M, and then you can use the same model in combination with, for example, different events, different forcing functions, which represent different experimental conditions. And the way we handle this in DMOD is you generate this prediction function by XS, and then you add condition by a plus operator. And this gives you the prediction function X of times and pars, so put in your times and parameters, and you get the prediction out, which you can plot, which looks like on the right side. So you can have several conditions at the same time, which are computed for different forcings or events. So what you finally want to do with these models is that we want to determine the parameters, the rate constants, from measurement data. So we have to link it to what can be measured in an experiment. And this is the level of the observation function. So in this case, this TCA cannot be measured directly. It needs to be, for example, radioactively labeled. And what you can measure is the counts of radioactive decays. And for example, TCA in the buffer, you can separate the buffer from the cells, and then you measure the number of counts. But the internal states in your ODE represent concentrations or amounts, for example, in nanomolar. So there's a scaling factor S between the internal state and that what you can measure in the experiment. As I said, you can separate the buffer from the cells, but you cannot distinguish between the cells and these little channels, the canalically. So what you would observe in the experiment is the sum of both. And this again is scaled by the scaling factor linking concentrations to radioactive counts. So this level, like what is the observation as a function of the internal prediction, is implemented by an observation function. It's a function of the prediction itself and possibly additional observation parameters like the scaling parameter. And we've implemented this by the capital Y. So you give this vector of observation functions, you say which are the states, which are the parameters, and then you get back a function where you can plug in your prediction and get the prediction for the observation. Finally, what is the role of the parameters in these models? So we have different kinds of parameters, dynamic parameters like rate constants, the initial values, and also observation parameters. We want to estimate all of them jointly, together in one process. And one important thing we want to have in this framework is that we can have different experimental conditions that can change some of the parameters while others are still the same. And so basically what we've implemented is a parameter transformation, and this covers four different situations that you find. So these are the four examples here. One thing is that when we estimate the parameters, we would like to do it on a log scale. Like we want to optimize over from minus infinity to infinity. But the constraint for the rate parameters is that they should be positive values. So we express the internal parameter by the exponential of another parameter, the capital the import in this case, and this can range from minus infinity to infinity. Another case is when we want to distinguish the experimental conditions. Like by the calcium condition, we could explicitly change one of the export rates. Then for the first condition, control condition, we want to compute the inner parameter export from one value, and for the other condition, from another value. This is stated like here in this table. Then we can have equality constraints. Like it is extremely valuable information when you know that your system starts, for example, in a steady state. This gives you a relation between the rate constants and the initial concentrations. And all this should be able, we should be able to write this down as explicit formulas, giving the connection between the initial value and other rate constants. And finally, what you can use it for is that you set values, parameter values, explicitly to numeric values. So all this is implemented in this equation transformation setting, and so given such a vector of relations, transformations, a function is generated where you plug in values for the capital parameters and you get out values for the non-capital parameters which go into the model itself. And as before, the plus operator sticks them together for different experimental conditions. So all this can now be combined and put together and linked to the data. So what we've seen so far is that we have the parameter transformation where we have one vector of these capital parameters by which we compute the inner parameters for each of the conditions. Then these parameters get into the prediction function to solve the ODE and get the prediction of internal states. Finally, we put it into the observation function and make the prediction for the experimental outcome. And then there's a last step, linking this to the actually observed data. So we compute residuals with the data and compute, for example, the weighted residual sum of squares. This is our objective function. So you have this for each of the conditions, you have to sum them up, and this gives you the total objective value, which needs to be minimized with respect to the outer parameters theta. So for this optimization, it is very useful to have derivatives, because derivatives make optimization more efficient. And this is all implemented in DMOT. Like every of these functions, parameter transformations, predictions, and so on, compute derivatives analytically and propagate them along this chain. So in the end, we get not just the objective value, we get its gradient and an approximation of the Hessian matrix. So the way this is then implemented in DMOT is we use a concatenation operator to stick those functions together, parameter transformation, prediction function, and observation function. We generate an objective function. We can add additional objective functions, for example, for prior knowledge. And this gives us the total objective function, which is minimized by a trust region optimizer. So now I want to show you some examples from simulated data, illustrating the typical problems and challenges we encounter in dynamic modeling. First is, let's assume we have the system as before. Now we have data for buffer and cellular levels, and we estimate the parameters. We start from different positions in parameter space and find a final objective value. Now, when we sort the objective values, we find subfigure A, where we find the same value over and over again, but then you find also different values. So there you see you have different local optima. And if you look in parameter space, what was the final outcome of the optimization in terms of parameter values, then you see that you really end up in different positions in parameter space. This is subfigure B. Again, each of these crosses corresponds to a model prediction. The internal states are shown on the right. They look very different. But in total, when you put them into the observation function, it gives you always the same result, very similar result. So therefore, the difference in the objective values is very small in this case. So what should you do to resolve this situation? In this case, you can do an additional experiment, like changing explicitly one of the export rates. Doing this, you have two data sets. You have changed one of the rates, the others were not changed, but you have doubled the information by a second data set. Now, when you fit those simultaneously, then you find that the difference in the chi-square values and the objective values is quite large. So we can decide which of these optima is the global optimum. Now that you see that we have a very unique best optimum, the question still remains if this also means that you can determine the parameter values up to finite confidence intervals. And the answer is no. The way we check this is the profile likelihood method. So for the profile likelihood method, we have the objective function, and this appears to be minus twice the log likelihood. Now, let's assume we are in the global optimum, and to compute the profile likelihood, we pick one of the parameters for which we want to compute the profile and change it systematically by a delta k. So go on a delta k, and then optimize all the remaining parameters and look at the log likelihood value that you end up with. Then go the next step and optimize, next step and optimize. And thereby, your objective values get worse in both directions. And at a certain point, they exceed a threshold such that you can say every value outside of this interval that you then find by these thresholds can be rejected, and this gives you the confidence interval. But the situation we encounter is often very different. It can be that you change one parameter, and then changing the other parameters, your log likelihood value does not change at all. And this gives you a flat line, as in the picture here on the left. It gives you a flat line, the red one which is just a flatliner. Now, if you look in parameter space, then you see that changing parameters simultaneously, it's like walking through a valley, and the objective value is just constant along this valley. On the right side, you see the good case. This means in both directions, you go up, and you pass the confidence threshold. And finally, in the middle, you see the case where in one direction you pass the threshold, but in the other direction, it's not possible that you constrain the parameter to a finite confidence interval. And also for this example, the best optimum shows us profiles which look like this. So we have this structural case of TCA cell, CANA, and the scaling parameter. Now if you look in parameter space, this is subfigure B, then you see if you increase the scaling parameter and decrease TCA cell, TCA CANA, then you can completely compensate this change. This is the structural non-identifiability. Other parameters can be confined to finite confidence intervals, and again, other parameters like the export is not confined to minus infinity in log space, meaning it could equally be zero on normal space, or the reflux, which could be arbitrarily fast without seeing a difference in the chi-square. Now I would like to summarize. DMOD provides a framework which helps you setting up reaction networks, ODE models, observation functions, parameter transformations. All these can be concatenated to a new function by a star operator. You can handle different experimental conditions, sticking them together by a plus operator. You can generate objective functions given the data and these prediction functions. You can investigate now the identifiability of parameters and compute confidence intervals. And the algorithm with the trust region optimization is quite efficient because we provide analytic derivative information. And this is one of the features that makes DMOD quite unique. In the end, I would like to thank you for listening. If you liked the package, then have a look at my GitHub page. And I would like to thank the contributors in our group, Wolfgang, Miriam, and Markus, and the head of our group, Jens Timmer. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Maybe we can have one quick question, if there's any.
Hello. Normally, you work in physics with programs like MATLAB. Why did you choose R?
It was not my choice. When I came into the group, so many of our people worked in MATLAB, and they told me, "Oh, nowadays R has become very strong in statistics, and we have a certain." Affinity to statistics, so it would be good if we had someone who learned R. And so I started working with R. I'm enthusiast about open source, so I never liked MATLAB and all the licensing, so this was the right choice for me. But it was necessary to extend functionality in this direction because dynamic modeling is not one of the focuses of R.
Okay. So thank you very much. I would like to conclude this session by thanking all the presenters for their contribution and for everyone for coming here. Thank you.